Welcome to Basic Brewing Radio for Thursday, March 21st, 2013. I'm James Spencer. Here at Basic Brewing Radio, we're all about home brewing. This week, Sean Halstead from Mr. Beer talks about changes at his company and his product line, and Craig Hendry from Raise Your Pints in Mississippi brings us up to date on the successful legalization of home brewing in his state. If you're new to home brewing or would like to get into the hobby for the first time, check out our website, basicbrewing.com, where you can find archives of our audio and video podcasts and our DVDs to walk you through basic and more advanced brewing techniques. You can follow me on Twitter. My username is Basic Brewing, all one word. Also, you can find me on Facebook at facebook.com/basicbrewing.james, and our show page on Facebook is at facebook.com/basicbrewing. Thanks again to everybody clicking on the Amazon.com associate link on our basicbrewing.com site. Whenever you think of Amazon, think of us and click on our associate link first. It won't cost you any extra, and you'll be helping us to bring you this show. We greatly appreciate your support. We also have associate links for Brew Your Own Magazine and the American Home Brewers Association on our site, too. You can find our Basic Brewing iPhone app on iTunes and our Android app on Amazon.com. We're on the BlackBerry Podcast Directory, and we're on the Stitcher app as well. You can check out our Brewers Logbook at basicbrewingshop.com. In the front is a calendar that you can use to track your fermentations and plan your brews. The good thing about the calendar is that it's blank for the first time this year, so you have a full year of calendar pages no matter when you start your brewing year. And there is room in the back to log the details of up to 50 batches of brew. That's 50. 50. Batches of brew. And finally, if you want to put a tip in our tip jar, some coinage in our guitar case, you can go to basicbrewing.com/support. I've received requests from listeners for such a thing, especially from listeners outside of the United States who want to support this podcast but can't use the Amazon link, and the postage and duty on merchandise makes it very expensive. So this is an option to help keep all the good stuff coming. I've been very surprised and humbled by the generosity so far. So thanks to everybody who has chipped in. You know, the intro gets longer every week, at least I'm not telling you which audiobooks to buy or you should buy your postage. At least not yet. This week is a big week in our neighboring state of Mississippi. After 5 years of trying, the nonprofit group Raise Your Pints has finally succeeded in legalizing home brewing. They are the 49th state to do so. And to get the lowdown on the legislation, let's talk to Craig Hendry, president of Raise Your Pints. Well, Craig Hendry, welcome to Basic Brewing Radio, and congratulations.
Thank you, James.
Yesterday must have been a big day. How's your head this morning?
Feeling great. It's a great feeling after a little over 5 years of working on it. You know, we finally got our goal and got the bill signed by the governor.
Yeah, now what are the details? I mean, can you legally homebrew right now?
No, it will not go into effect actually till July 1st. And that's kind of standard for a lot of bills. Once they pass, they get the signature, but they will not go into effect. Last year, our ABW bill was the same way, so we had to actually wait a little bit to really enjoy it. But, you know, it's done, so we know it's going to happen.
Yeah, there's nothing like homebrewing in Mississippi in July, right?
Absolutely.
So what are the details? Did you get what you wanted?
Yeah, we mirrored the language of this bill after the federal, of course. You know, we really didn't want to get into any kind of other tighter restrictions, so we mirrored it, you know, the 100 gallons per adult, you know, 200 per household, and we went ahead and kind of preemptively put in some language to limit it to dry counties because we anticipated some kickback, you know, because you got these dry counties and these lawmakers are very protective of them, of who they represent. And so to just preempt that, we said, okay, well, you can only do it in wet counties, which is still a win for the state. And also we went ahead and put in transportation to cover transportation to tastings and festivals too. So we've kind of learned over the years, and we adapted and cleaned up the language each year. and made a little, because in the beginning years ago, it actually is legal to make wine in Mississippi. It's been that way forever. And you know, our first bill literally just threw the words "and beer." You can make wine, and then we were just going to throw the words "and beer" in there to, you know, and try to legalize it that way. But you know, as we worked and talked with people and the lawmakers and the lawyers, and you know, they helped us clean the language up and kind of get it out separate away from the wine clause. So that's where we were, what we did.
It's an education process, isn't it? I mean, you got legislators. I don't know if it was this way in Mississippi, but I'm listening to some of the conversation, I think, recorded in Alabama a while back, and hearing about some of the conversation in Utah. I mean, in the beginning, a lot of legislators think it's like making meth. I mean, they want to alert the local fire department that you're home brewing in your house in case they have to come to your house, and you know, all this crazy stuff that has yeah. nothing to do with what we are. So you guys, it was a long road to educate these people, right?
Yeah, it absolutely. Every year you talk to more and more of them, and you know, when you say things like, "Well, we're the last one of the last few states," they say, "Hey, we need to change that," but you really have to tell them, and you know, a lot of the questions we get, you know, hey, is it safe? How are you going to police it? Things like that. But in the beginning, you could talk to them, but in the end, you really had to make them passionate about your cause. They had to want to see this bill pass. And they, after, you know, the great relationships we built last year, changing the ABW law, you know, now when they'd run up to us, "Hey, what are y'all working on now?" And so we'd say, "Hey, we're, you know, homebrewing is our goal, getting it legalized now." And so they'd want to hear a little bit more about it and say, "Hey, you know," and then they'd ask questions about homebrew. And of course, we had a little tasting for the legislature right at the beginning of the session, and we had Gary Glass down for it, and it went over great. We had way more attend than we thought we would have, and it was a great success. Brought them in, and I picked out some of the best homebrewers from all around the state. We're here in Jackson, but I had homebrewers from Vicksburg and Starkville and up in the Delta and from the coast, and they came down and brought some beers. You know, I got everybody, gave them enough heads up. I said, "Brew something really good, you know, everybody would like." And we got a big mix of styles, and we had about 30 different homebrews there, and it was a you know, rousing success. So, you know, that played into the whole education part. So they got to see who, you know, who's you know, doing this. You know, we had a couple of homebrewers with doctorates and you know master's degrees, and you know, just a wide range of types of people. You know, it's not just you know, us living in a trailer park cooking meth and making homebrew. So you know, you get them to understand that it's you know, it's really just a hobby that people are passionate about.
You brought in the pros this year. You brought in professional lobbyists. Did that make a difference?
It absolutely does. We, you know, we started in, like I say, we're still amateurs at this, but we started out basically, you know, walking up to the Capitol and saying, "Hey, we want to get bill change," and it, you know, it, like going back to, you know, they have to want to pass your bill. And it, in the end, it, we realized we need a lobbyist up there helping us, because we all have day jobs and families, and we can't be up there all the time, and we can't meet with every, you know, lawmaker that needs to be talked to. And so we realized we needed the help, and that's when we finally incorporated as Raise Your Pints and started raising money, having events and selling T-shirts and pint glasses, just trying to raise enough money, because a lobbyist is very expensive. And once we had that money, we, you know, got good ones on the payroll, so to speak, and they worked solid for us for 2 years. You know, of course, last year we were working on the ABW goal, but homebrewing was our number two goal at the time. But the homebrewing bill kind of got left aside, but literally, once the ABW bill last year was signed, then the primary focus became homebrewing. So they literally worked for us throughout the summer, throughout the fall, and then basically we were ready come this, you know, earlier this year to roll once the session started. So a lot of work goes on behind the scenes and during the off season, so to speak. And they did a great job for us. Is two gentlemen that work for us here in Jackson, and you know, they. We got to see firsthand the job they do, And we learned that if you don't have somebody up there at the Capitol pushing your bill all along the way, because there's so many points, there's so many deadlines and so many ways for bills to fail, and you've got to steadily push it. And if they ever stall, they can literally die, you know, within days if they don't keep constant, steady movement. And that, you know, that's the way a lot of bills will just get killed. They'll just kind of ignore them and, you know, let them die, and then they're out of the way and they don't have to deal with the bill.
Yeah.
So it goes back to that passion thing. They've got to want to see this bill too, see the bill pass too.
Yeah, your neighbors in Alabama, I read this morning that they are facing some legislative hurdles, and it's not necessarily their fault, because I guess there's some hullabaloo over there, some controversy, and you know, one party or the other are dragging their feet over a certain issue that's not related to the homebrew bill at all. And so, you know, we hope that everything will get straightened out, and that the homebrew bill will be up for discussion. But it's, you know, it's out of committee, and you know, it's ready to go on the floor of both houses, and it's just stuck out of no fault of their own.
Yep. I think it was that way last year with them too.
Well, maybe the fact that Alabama is now the last unlucky state in the country, maybe that will give some incentive to the legislators to, you know, maybe pull the trigger, so to speak, and get it done this year.
Yeah, you think so, but you know, sometimes they have that mentality. Well, we don't want to be like everybody else, and which is a sad way to look at things. But you know, sometimes you run into that with some of the lawmakers.
Well. All the best of luck to them, and congratulations to you. And what's next for Raise Your Pints? Are you done?
No, well, we're not done. We're basically going to continue as a nonprofit organization, grassroots group. We're going to look at basically education now, and putting on events, and keep, you know, look at how can Mississippi benefit from, you know, craft beer and home brewing of sorts. And so we're going to keep rolling, and we'll look and sit down probably this summer and say, is there anything else we need to look at legislative wise that we need to work on? But we're definitely not going to go away. We'll be here and continue being part of the beer world in Mississippi.
Awesome. Well, good luck. And again, congratulations.
Cool. Thank you.
Great news for our Mississippi neighbors, and I hope that Alabama isn't far behind. We are definitely pulling for you guys down there. I hope things get unknotted in the Alabama legislature, and we can be talking to you about your successful efforts soon. Now, I know that there are those of you out there who will find the following interview controversial. Mr. Beer has its fans and its detractors in the homebrew world, but you can't deny that it is the point of entry for many thousands of new brewers each year. And in my mind, my journalistic mind, when there are major changes at Mr. Beer, that's news. So let's talk to Sean Halstead, sales manager of Mr. Beer. Sean Halstead, welcome to Basic Brewing Radio.
Thank you for having me.
You were saying before that your last name is appropriate for your line of work.
Yeah, it's a German name, and dates back to medieval times when somebody looked after something. They were a stead, and Halstead is someone who tended to the hall, as in the beer hall or the meat hall. So, German for bartender, I guess.
Very appropriate. So you are in the beer business, but you also are a home brewer as well. Give us a little background on that.
Okay. Well, I've been homebrewing for about 8 years now, and I started, ironically enough, with a Mr. Beer kit well before I was affiliated with the company. And I'm just kind of one of these guys that once I get started with something, I gotta jump in with both feet. So I'm now an all-grain brewer. I do 30-gallon batches for fun, as well as partial extracts, full extracts. I even still use the Mr. Beer kit sometimes. And I'm a second-year club officer with the Tucson Homebrewers Club.
Ah. So being associated with Mr. Beer doesn't ruin your credibility with your local homebrew club?
There's some eyes that get rolled every once in a while, but everybody in the club has a job of some sort. So some of them are military pilots, some of them are engineers, teachers, some of them are retired people. So it's, you know, everybody's got a job, and some of the newer 5-gallon stuff that we're coming out with, that actually is raising a few eyebrows with them. So what was an eye roll at some points, now all of a sudden I'm getting some people asking me, hey, can I get some of this or some of that, you know, like the oxygen barrier bottles. And we're coming out with 5-gallon reusable Sankey kegs for homebrewers as well. So
yeah,
some of that stuff I'm starting to get some interest in as well.
Yeah, well, I definitely want to talk about the new products. There have been a lot of changes with Mr. Beer recently. And I told you before we started recording that that talking to the Mr. Beer sales manager in some homebrewers' eyes may be, you know, like getting very close to the third rail for my credibility. So you are aware of the reputation that that Mr. Beer has among some, especially experienced homebrewers. They say, you know, they turn their nose up at the finished product. They say that it's, you know, in their eyes, substandard, or they're afraid that if people, you know, get a Mr. Beer kit for Christmas, that when they try it and they don't like it, they'll think that all home brewing is bad. You've heard all the criticisms. How do you respond?
There's not really much you can argue with you know, opinions and perceptions. The Mr. Beer kit in its previous form is different than it is in its current form. But in both cases, it's really meant to be an introduction to home brewing for people that have never brewed before. So because of that, it's designed to be as easy of a process as possible. It's designed to be as affordable to purchase as possible. And the idea is, we do want the beer to be good beer. Since Cooper's revamped the product, what they've done is they made some changes to the equipment, but the main change is to the ingredients themselves. The malt extract and powdered booster format is no more. What they've done at the brewery in Regency Park, South Australia, they've replaced the booster pack, which was a dextrose-maltose combination, with 54% more liquid malt extract. So what we have in the kits now is a pre-hopped malt extract with no sugar adjuncts in the process or in the finished product as well. And the end result is a much improved beer that somebody can say that they made at home.
So it is an all malt product now.
Correct. And the ingredients have the ingredients on the label stated: malted barley, hops, and yeast. The only thing that is not included is the water somebody adds.
Right. Now, I when I heard about this, I went on the Mr. Beer website and I bought the American Ale can. It's actually just a can now. With no booster, and I made it a while back, and it's still a bit light for my taste. I think it's less than 4% alcohol.
Correct.
But you know, for let's say, you know, typical American lager drinkers, I think that it would be a tasty product. Is that also something that you're trying to not saying that you're trying to appeal to the lowest common denominator, but most of the beer drinkers out there are not familiar with more aggressively flavored American craft beers. And so are you afraid of, you know, putting something that's too sort of robustly flavored into a beginner's brew kit?
Yes and no. What comes in the kits themselves are beers that have more of a broad appeal. However, we do have a second line, which is called the Craft Series, that produces beer that is more hoppy, has more malt flavor, and produces alcohol in the range of about 5 to 5.5%. But as far as the standard refills. Yes, we do. We do not want to have the alcohol content run away on somebody. I should point out that you can add fermentable sugars to the Mr. Beer kit if you are looking to increase the alcohol production.
Do you still sell unhopped malt extract on the site?
On the site, yes. At the wholesale level where we sell to homebrew shops, we do not, simply because that's something that they usually have already.
Ah, yeah, okay. So the we've encouraged people to get rid of the booster for a while. In fact, we made a video on YouTube that you might have seen called Doctoring Mr. Beer, where we got rid of the booster and we instead did a partial mash with a couple of pounds of two-row.
Okay.
And then we added more hops at the end of the boil and kind of, you know, sort of made the Mr. Beer kit a bit more, you know, crafty, so to speak. I mean, you still sell the booster on the site, right? For those who still want to have it?
I believe so, yes. I know that we have it in the warehouse. So I believe it's sold on the site as well. The site also has other fermentables on there, certain fruit extracts. If somebody wants to have a beer that involves berries, for example, there are some other fermentable extracts that are sold on the site.
Now, is the extract itself, is it different from the extract that came with the kits in the past?
Yes, it is. The extract that was in the Mr. Beer kits previously was sourced from a malt extract provider in New Zealand. The extract that's produced that is in the Mr. Beer kits and refills now actually comes from the Cooper's Brewery. And Cooper's is the largest producer of malt extract for brewing in the world, but they're also a brewery. You can go into craft beer stores, you know, high-end beer and wine stores like Total Wine, for example, and you can actually buy Cooper's beer. So everything that is done in the process of making the hopped malt extract and the unhopped malt extract, everything is done by brewers, for brewers. We're fond of saying that beer is not something that we do. It is all that we do. So quality of the water, the type of barley that's used, the extraction process itself is unique to Cooper's. Instead of using high heat evaporation to concentrate the wort, it uses a centrifuge and low heat to really maintain the flavor of the malt and also keep the hop profile intact for the hop malt extract.
So people who have been going to homebrew stores locally might recognize the Cooper's logo on larger cans of extract. They're 20-liter kits. So same stuff, essentially?
It is the same stuff. And the recipes that Cooper sells in the 23-liter variety, those actually mirror beers that are sold in the retail area. So, for example, if you go into a homebrew supply store and you see a can of Cooper's Australian Pale Ale or India Pale Ale beer or beer mix, that actually is the same type of it's the same grain bill, it's the same hops in the same amounts of the Australian Pale Ale and India Pale Ale that Cooper sells in stores, in pubs, anywhere that somebody goes to buy beer.
Now, you since Cooper's purchased Mr. Beer, it looks like you guys are sort of trying to, for lack of a better word, legitimize the Mr. Beer brand and kind of raise the bar a bit. And you're coming out with some new products, as you mentioned before. What are we going to see from Mr. Beer?
Well, the Mr. Beer kit itself is going to remain true to its origins. It's going to be a 2-gallon variety, and it's just going to have a better beer ingredient and also an easier process. So that's going to remain somewhat unchanged. We are coming out with cider extracts later this year as well for both pear and apple. And what that's going to allow homebrew supply retailer to do is actually stock the consumable product if somebody wants to make a cider, so whether it's an apple or a pear cider, rather than having to stock whole apple product, they'll actually be able to have a stock 10-ounce bottles that are concentrated apple or pear juice minus any preservatives. And then that 10-ounce bottle will actually produce a gallon of apple product that can be fermented. So two bottles will make 2 gallons, three bottles will make three, all the way up to 5 gallons or above, depending on what somebody's setup is.
And tell us about the new kegs.
The new kegs are they're kind of basic in design. It's one of these products where you look at it, you think, oh, why didn't I think of that? It's very similar to other items that are out there. There's a product called the Party Pig, which is a big bottle, essentially, that you can activate a CO2 pouch and draw from. There's also another product that's called the carbonator cap, made by a company out of Florida called Liquid Bread, where you actually can carbonate in the bottle itself using a ball lock fitting. The new kegs are similar in concept to both of those, except the big bottle, which is about a 5-gallon bottle, 19 liters, the cap is actually a Sankey housing that is threaded in there. So instead of hooking up a ball lock to this product and carbonating, that way you hook up a Sankey decoupler. You can force carbonate in these, and then you can also serve beer out of these. A couple of benefits, added benefits to the new kegs is, one, since it does not use the ball lock or pin lock fittings, you can actually interchange this keg with anybody's stock kegerator. The other benefit is these are brand new, and they retail for about what a used corny keg will. And they are made in America, and since we're having them made, we feasibly have an unlimited supply.
So are these plastic?
Correct, yeah. There's three components to the keg. There's the inner liner, which is a PET bottle, so to speak. Then there's the Sankey housing and dip tube assembly. And then there's a jacket that goes around everything, keeps everything protected and together.
So how do you open the top? Is it easy to get in there and clean?
Yes, it's threaded, so you just unscrew it.
Wow. So are you looking to replace the aging corny kegs of homebrewers out there?
Replace them, augment them. It's up to the person's decision on that. One of the rumblings that we always hear is that places are running out of supply on the used corny kegs, and then the alternative is the $100 new corny kegs that come from China, or the $150 new corny kegs that come from Italy, and this is a third option. It's a $59 reusable Sankey keg that comes from Atlanta.
So you're coming out with these kind of more mature products. In the past, you know, I know of I don't know what the percentage of homebrew shop owners who are resistant to stocking Mr. Beer, but are you seeing more of them kind of take a second look at the brand?
Yes, we get and we do quite a bit of even before we took over, or even before we had the Mr. Beer product line, when Mr. Beer was its own company, there were quite a few homebrew shop owners that were bringing in the product, and now that we've taken over, there's quite a bit, more of an acceptance to the Mr. Beer line. As far as the benefit to a homebrew shop owner, as far as carrying the Mr. Beer line, once you get past the initial apprehension, it actually does make a lot of sense on a marketing standpoint. There are a lot of people that get Mr. Beer kits as gifts, or they see them in a store and they make an impulse purchase. These are people that would never walk into a homebrew shop or, you know, have thought about doing that. And most of these, again, are given as gifts. So somebody received a beer kit as a gift, and I'm one of these guys. I received a Mr. Beer kit about 8 years ago and had an afternoon where I wasn't doing anything, so I went through the process and made the beer. And I liked the way the beer tasted, so I took it upon myself to take the next step and reuse the kit. In those cases, for a homebrew shop owner that's looking to attract new people into their store, we actually will wholesale the refills to them and send people to their store so they can do business locally and they can work with somebody who has experience. And ultimately, as that person progresses as a brewer, chances are they will probably buy some other items to use in the Mr. Beer kit. They might buy some additional fermentable adjuncts to get the alcohol content up. They may buy additional bottling supplies, bottles, bottle trees, bottling wands. And as they keep progressing and maturing, chances are probably going to move into a bigger setup and do some more complex brewing. At that point, we've actually done a pretty nice thing by partnering with that supplier who brought in the refills, who then has an experienced homebrewer that's buying grain mills, grains, mash tuns, false bottoms, you name it.
Yeah, Mr. Beer is a gateway product for homebrewing for a lot of people. I mean, I hear from people all the time who say that they first got into homebrewing with Mr. Beer. And then, you know, that kind of wet their whistle, and then they went into a homebrew store and climbed up the ladder from there. And I've, you know, talked to homebrew store owners, and I've kind of encouraged them, you know, hey, you guys ought to be having, you know, at least be making your own 2-gallon extract kits, because I've witnessed people coming into the homebrew store saying, hey, I got this Mr. Beer kit, and you know, I need some more stuff. I've made this first batch, and it was fun, And I think the worst thing that you can tell them is no, and turn them away or try to immediately ramp them up into something that they're completely unfamiliar with. So, I personally think it's a good concept to keep them coming back into the store. And then, you know, over time, you can get them used to the idea of brewing larger batches or brewing with other ingredients. I mean, I use, and you know, people have seen this on the video podcast, I still have a Mr. Beer little keg fermenter that I use for small batches. You know, whenever I brew like a 2-gallon batch of something, even all grain, I sometimes use that 2-gallon little plastic keg, which you guys sell for, I think, $10 on your site, by the way.
We let them go for a very reasonable price.
So there's a little tip. but I think that, you know, you don't, we preach all the time about the beauty of small batches. And, I bottled a 1-gallon batch this morning from that I fermented in a 1-gallon glass jug. The tools are only as good as how you use them, I think. But also on the other end of the scale, my stepmother a while back was asking about how to brew beer, and she was asking all these questions, and she likes to cook. So what I did was I went to the Mr. Beer site and I sent her a Mr. Beer kit, and she's like in her 70s, you know, so I didn't think she was up to, going in with a full 5-gallon size starter kit. So she made the Mr. Beer kit, and she liked the beer, and she had a lot of fun. And, you know, whether she'll brew another batch again or not, is still up in the air. But I think she actually went and bought another refill kit. So, there's some common ground now. She's now a brewer. She's now a home brewer. You know, my stepmother is not gonna be buying a kegerator. I mean, the beer that she likes to drink is Miller High Life, and she gets the little 8-pack of the little the little pony bottles, you know, and so.
Okay.
You know, it has brought an experience, a positive experience, to share with my stepmother. So I just had to, in the sense of full disclosure, I wanted to get that tell that story.
Okay.
So it is a way to get an easy way to get into home brewing, and I think that I mean there's an opportunity between you and homebrew shop owners and other home brewers. To help Mr. Beer beginning brewers kind of improve their game.
Yeah, and you know, you can start off with a kit, and like you said, your stepmother probably is not going to grow beyond it, and that's fine. There's going to be people that never move beyond it, but there is like you've mentioned, I've mentioned, people do get bit by the bug after they've made their first batch. And they do tend to continue on to some extent. As far as, like you mentioned, you've got your Mr. Beer kit and you still use it for small batches. One of the reasons that the fermenter was designed with those dimensions is that you can actually put it in an ice chest, like a cooler, a Coleman cooler, for example, and you can actually control the temperature and play with that. For places like where I live, which is a high temperature environment, it's a little harder to do lager beers than it is for ales, and so it actually is a great way to start lagering and learn about lager yeast and temperatures and things like that without actually having to crank your AC down to about 55 degrees, 60 degrees. So there's some benefits there. Also, if someone's looking to do a barley wine or a really high gravity imperial type of beer where you don't necessarily want to do all 5 gallons, it's not a bad way to go about doing that as well.
Yeah, you're preaching to the choir there. we've played with some really wacky ingredients with small batches that we wouldn't want to invest, you know, in doing a full 5 or 10 gallon batch with too. So there are definite advantages to the small batch, and also, I mean, the older that I get, the heavier that 6.5 gallon carboy gets. So
yeah.
So the small batches are good there as well. So what, I mean, you know, lagering or controlling temperature with the Mr. Beer fermenter is a good sort of advanced tip. What are some other advanced tips that you can pass on to people who are still using the Mr. Beer kits?
Well, it's the kit itself. It's just equipment. Like you said, in the hands of somebody that knows what they're doing, it can be a great tool. In the hands of somebody that doesn't, they're going to, you know, have problems. But lagering is one of the options. We actually have a staff of trained brewmasters here at the office that would be in a better position to answer things that you can do for advanced brewing. On the website, there's I think about 60 different recipes on the site that are variations of with ingredients and techniques to try different things. And these our brewmasters are actually available to talk via phone, live internet chat. You can email them. And these are people that have gone to universities to study brewing. It's not a Mr. Beer accreditation by any means.
And you guys, on your website, you sell both the hopped and unhopped extracts. You sell hops, pellet hops.
Correct.
And you sell liquid and dry yeast as well. And I think that your liquid yeast is, I don't know if it's disclosed or not, but it's, I think it's manufactured by a yeast manufacturer that we're all familiar with. And I think, I mean, you basically got everything on there except grains to play with.
Yes, the website, MrBeer.com, it's an online homebrew shop for people that brew in 2 gallons. And it's also a good example of items that Mr. Beer customers are looking for that we don't make. So to give you an example, let's say that I'm working with you as a homebrew shop owner, and you're looking at bringing in Mr. Beer refills. I'm actually going to direct you to the site and point out other items that are sold on there that should be merchandised with Mr. Beer refill product. Bottles, bottling wands, whole hops, pellet hops for dry hopping, additional fermentable adjuncts. Those items are actually very popular with Mr. Beer customers already. In the homebrew shop, those types of items really should be recommended.
Well, there you go. It's all about the beer, isn't it, Sean?
Yeah. That's what we're all about. You, me, you know, the first-time homebrewer, the experienced homebrewer. That really is the common ground that we all have. And for us working with the brewery in Australia, too, that's the common language we all speak.
Well, I tell you, I may get questions after this episode airs, and if I do, I'm gonna send them right over to you. Is that all right?
Absolutely. we always answer the phone. We always return emails. The shops that we do business with that have contacted us somewhat reluctantly at points, they do end up really appreciating the way that we do business. We're a very good company to do business with. If there's something that somebody needs, you know, we'll address that. I just this week had 2 separate accounts that were doing St. Patrick's Day promotions, and they called to get some St. Patrick's Irish Stout refills in, and because they were running promotions, I actually mailed out some promotional material for them to give away to their customers. So little things like that really goes a long way. It is appreciated by our retail partners, and we actually do a very good job of supporting them in their efforts.
So you're trying to go beyond Bed Bath & Beyond.
Correct, yeah. We're focusing on the beyond.
Well, I mean, one thing, you know, Mr. Beer is known as a seasonal item. I mean, you just see it pop up in the stores around Christmas time. So I guess one of your goals is to kind of change that.
Change it, but also count on it. That is a great time, and it's a great gift idea. And like I mentioned, I was the recipient of a Mr. Beer gift quite a few years ago, and it really brought me into the world of home brewing. And I've also tried winemaking, and I failed at that miserably. I've also made cheese. I've made soda. I've made cider. So for me it was an introduction to a great hobby where I've met great people through it. And it's been nothing but a positive experience for me.
Well, there you go. Sean, I appreciate your time.
Well, I appreciate talking with you, James. And if you or any of your listeners have any questions, feel free to contact me. And you have my contact information, I believe.
Yes.
Feel free to post that on your site. And any and all questions or if clarification is needed, I'm definitely here to help.
Well, thanks again to Sean. Nice guy. Steve and I are planning to use a Mr. Beer fermenter to rack a mole stout into for a Basic Brewing video this week. If you are an experienced home brewer, Mr. Beer is probably not for you. But as I've said, there are a lot of you who are listening to the show because you got your start with Mr. Beer. And it's good to see the end of the booster. If nothing else, seeing the booster go bye-bye is a good thing. If you have brewing questions, show suggestions, or just want to say howdy, write to james@basicbrewing.com or just fill out the contact form on basicbrewing.com. And please don't forget to tell us where you're from. Check out our new support link where you can throw us a couple of bucks. Throw us a couple of bucks into the tip jar by subscribing financially to our podcasts. We'd like to expand our coverage, and you can help. Be sure to check out our DVDs, Extract Brewing and Partial Mashing, Stepping into All Grain, Low-Tech Lagering and Decoction Mashing, and Introduction to Wine Kits. You can find them all on our website. We've got combo deals to save you a few bucks if you want to buy more than one DVD at a time. And you can check out our Basic Brewing shirts in the store as well. Our Brewers Logbooks are on the store, too. Keep track of up to 50 batches of beer. You can see a listing of the fine folks across the country who sell our DVDs on basicbrewing.com. If there isn't a vendor in your area, you can order them online in our online shop at basicbrewingshop.com. Thanks to everybody who's continued to click on our Amazon.com link. We appreciate the support there. Our featured products this week that were purchased through the link are Anatomy and Physiology for Dummies. Seems like that should be Anatomy and Physiology for Smart People, but I what do I know? And Matchbox Egg Hunt includes 3 mystery vehicles in plastic eggs. Cool. Thanks again, everybody. Remember, I can't tell who bought what, so no worries there. Just click on the Amazon.com logo on our site the next time you feel like Amazon shopping. We greatly appreciate your support. Don't forget, you can also join the American Homebrewers Association and subscribe to Brew Your Own magazine through the associate links on basicbrewing.com. That's all until next week. Until then, thanks for listening, everybody. I'm James Spencer. Production help for Basic Brewing Radio and our website is provided by Kelly Dotson. Basic Brewing Radio is a production of Active Voicing. We'll talk to you next time, everybody. So long.